Welcome back, man. God bless you guys. Listen, 5,000 people is what Jesus fed last time we were talking in the book of Matthew. We were in Matthew chapter 14, and we worked our way down to verse 13, all the way down to verse 21. And we talked about the miracles that Jesus did by feeding the crowd, and how, number one, when Jesus fed that many people, he fulfilled the expectations for all the Hebrews that were waiting on, that were basically focused on Moses' model. And so Jesus became, in their eyes, the new Moses, like it talks about in Deuteronomy 18. And so he basically supplied all their needs and riches according to his grace. And he did this to indicate that not only is he faithful, but that he loves us, and that he is the Messiah, and that he is the one that can perform miracles. And so, Lord, we do come before you, and we thank you for this chapter, Father. Holy Spirit, now we ask that you come, Father, and anoint this word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys, man, and welcome back. I hope your Easter was radical. Yeah, man. I don't believe in the Easter bunnies, but I did get all the chocolate from the store at half off. I always wait every year, believers. Once the Easter's over, and you know, I go and I just bum rush the chocolate, man. Then I go see a dentist afterwards. Listen, we were talking about how the Messiah fed all these people, man, 5,000 people. And it was more because it didn't include the women and children. And I'm just letting you guys know, man, that Jesus Christ can feed you. You see, these are the things that we take for granted in life, that we know Christ is faithful to us, but sometimes we don't see it. But he supplies our bread. He supplies our spiritual food when we need it. And so in verse 20 last week in Matthew chapter 14, it talks about, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets, okay, full of the fragments that remained. And I believe the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel, because God was showing the Hebrews that these are your 12 tribes, okay? And I'm going to take the fragments that remained, and I'm going to bless. I'm going to show you that I am above Moses, and I'm going to show you that the law is not going to work. But I am, that Jesus said that I have come to fulfill the law, because it was a guide, a stick, a pointer stick to God's grace. But look here, it was basically a pre-crucifixion, you know, sign that was recorded in all four Gospels. All these feeding of the 5,000. But Jesus proved his point with mercy. He didn't say, "Hey Moses, I'm the one." Or he didn't say, basically, you know, smack down. This is what it is, man. No. He lived it. He lived what he did. And that's the radical part, man. And so, wow, I'm just excited, man. And you know what? I know it sounds crazy, but we're looking at some pretty radical times, man. I mean, here we see in verse 21, now those that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children, so there was more. Look at God's faithful. He's going to feed us, man. He's going to give us what we need just for today. A lot of people say, "Oh, no, you know, I need more and more." And God's like, "Nah, just chill out. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be the one to fill your cup." So immediately Jesus in verse 22, this is the radical part, because here Christ is going to walk on water. So here we have Jesus, okay, listen to this. Immediately Jesus made his disciples, 12 of them, by the way, there was 12 disciples and 12 baskets, okay? But he got into the boat, man. Like, they're really full of fish. I love it. And bread. And listen to this. And they go, listen to this. So they get into the boat and they go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, a lot of believers would just flow through this. They would just keep reading and they would do something like this. Watch, listen, believers. They would say, And then he went to the mountain and he started praying. And now when he even came along, you know, he alone there. But then the boat came in the middle of the sea and tossed the waves into the wind in the country. No, listen. They forgot to listen to this, believers. And when he had sent the multitudes away, we got to be careful. We have to read slow. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. How many times have us believers did something and we didn't pray? Every single time we ask for something, we need to pray. And we think we're going to make it. Like we want to go buy a new car. And we ask our wives, or our wives ask the husband, and the husband asks the wife, and the husband's, I got this, sweetie, don't worry about nothing. And I'm going to get that truck. We need this truck. We need it. And the wife is like, well, what do we need a truck for? We got a car. Well, because the truck, we can haul things around, and we can do things, and we can, you know, we can go camping, and we can make so many excuses why we need to buy the truck. So many reasons why we need to buy the truck. And the wife's saying, look, we can't afford it. And the husband's saying, oh, we can do it. Trust me, this is what I need this. And they don't pray. And they go to the dealership, and they get this sharp looking sales guy with a suit and tie. Oh, and they're good now. They won't even say nothing to you anymore. It's a reverse psychology. You walk in there and they're just like, yeah, whatever you need, just give me a holler. Here's my card, bye. And, you know, you got this person that didn't pray and they're just all over this truck. They buy the truck and then now they never go camping, like he said. He's outside washing the truck. He's outside, he's in debt now with a $35,000 truck he could have got for $20,000 somewhere else if he prayed about it. He now is over his head big time with a payment of $450 plus insurance. Now he's up to $600. Now the wife is mad because this food's disappearing. But he's outside with a bar of soap and washing his truck every day. And or driving it through the, you know, the drive-thru with the $5 a pop. You know, so that's five times five, you know. That's $25 a week in washes. Now he's up to $700 because he has to wash it and make it look good. See, here we are now, and he didn't pray about it. You see, I believe Jesus Christ went to the mountain to pray to his Father for strength to deal with these 12 disciples. Just kidding. I believe he went to go get with his Father, like we need to get with our Father and pray about everything we do, because prayer is the exact thing that we need. It's a direct phone call to Jesus Christ, our Father. So when we go around asking for something, we need to pray about it. Lord Jesus, we come before you. I need this truck. Is there another way that you can provide transportation? And if you don't have it, you don't have it. Live within your means. Husbands, we all want a new truck. But God wants us to live within our means. And so we see that Jesus got immediately with his Father and he began to pray. Because prayer is the key to believing and having a healthy lifestyle with God, with Jesus Christ. It's the key to going on to the next step in this life. Prayer, 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 prayer. Well, I don't know how to pray. It's easy, dude. God, do you want me to have this truck? And now wait for some confirmation. And that's going to be your wife saying no. You see how easy that is? And so now the guy buys the truck and he's really flipping out. You're like, what does this have to do with the sermon? Well, watch. You're going to see. Well, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Okay, so the Sea of Galilee and all that, when you're in the Sea of Galilee, when you're here, you can see the way when it gets windy here, it really tosses up. It really rocks winds come up, man, and they just rock that Sea of Galilee. I used to jet ski on it, and I know it's rough. But listen to this. You're really going to like this, okay? Believers, hold on to your seatbelts. Here we go. Listen. So now, Jesus tells them, let's go, right? Okay? Now, they're in the middle of the sea. Because it says here, in the middle of the sea, it's tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. They're right in the middle. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they were scared, and they cried out for fear. And immediately, listen to this, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. He walked on water to go to Jesus. Wow, that's crazy radical, right? So he's walking on water, right? He's walking on water. He's right there, man. He's got his eyes on the Lord. He's listening to Jesus. You guys, listen to this, man. This is the big one right here. He's walking on water. He gets on the floor. Boom, his eyes are locked on Jesus. He's walking. He's coming. Jesus is telling him to come, right? This is radical, okay? And he answered and said to him, listen to this. I'm so sorry. He said, okay, so watch this. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. So it was boisterous, and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Wow. Listen, I want you to put the boisterous right there as you buying the truck without your wife's permission. And the boisterous is the repo man taking your truck. And now you're sinking because you're in debt. And what are you going to do? Now you're afraid. Because this is what happens, believers. We don't pray and we don't get our eyes on the Lord. We take our eyes right off the Lord. We begin to feel afraid. We begin to feel fear. Satan comes in here now. He tries to install fear in your life. Like my neighbor's dog bit me. It scared me, but I'm over it because I know that the dog is gone. But not like that. It's like this. Watch. Believers, listen. You're living your life for Christ. Your eyes are on the Lord. The moment you take them off, Satan begins to put thoughts in your mind. He starts to plant wicked thoughts in your mind to tell you that you're never going to amount to anything, that you're never going to make it in life, that you're never going to succeed, you're never going to become anybody, you're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. He tries to play with your mind. Then when he's done twisting your thoughts, he tries to put you on an island and single you out and put you alone and solo you out, single you out. Jesus said, come to me. Listen, Peter, don't be afraid. Look at number one, no takers. Don't be afraid. Number two, come to me. Come to me. Dude, this guy walked on water. But the moment he got his eyes off of Jesus Christ, he began to sink. Like the guy that bought his truck without praying. Now he's sinking. Listen to this. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see? Now he's got his hand out saying, "Look, bro, don't ever doubt me or what I can do in your life or what I can, how I can heal you, how I can do the things that you will never understand." Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." Hebrews 11, the honor roll of faith, talks about how radical faith is, believers, even more than the mustard seed. We become fearful and we become depressed and we forget what our Father says. So he said, "Come," and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water and to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, "Lord, save me." You may be in a rotten situation right now in this life. You may have lost your loved one, your kids. You may have been through so much in this life. Even myself, I have. And I'll never, ever stop struggling in this life, believers, from the things that were done to me when I was young and the things that I've been through in this life. I will never be the same. But there's one thing that's true. Jesus Christ didn't do it to us. He's always there standing in the gap with his hand out saying, "Come to me, I will fix you. Come to me, I will heal you. I will help you get off the dope. I will help you get sober. I will help you get off your websites. I will help you get off of whatever you're stuck on. I will help you." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. Come to me." But we have to have faith that he's going to come through. We have to have faith that he's going to come and be there to stand in that gap no matter what. No matter what we go through. We have to understand that he will meet our needs. Listen. Why did you doubt? Don't doubt him. Don't doubt what Jesus Christ can do. And you know something? The most radical part of this life is when you're going through it so bad in life, you pray to him. Remember, believers, pray, pray, and pray. And when you go through the lowest point in your life, that's where God is right there standing in the gap. I promise you, every time with me, every time I get to my lowest point in life, it's almost like a test because he loves us. Listen, believers, verse 32 says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased." It's when we get into that boat with Jesus Christ. It's when we get into his boat, all of our problems cease. It's when we step into his boat with our faith in Jesus Christ is when our problems end. And I mean it. Because there's nothing we don't have to worry about anymore when we step into his boat, dude. He will sail us anywhere we want to go. All we got to do is say, "Lord, take me. Lord, help me. Lord," but we have to pray. So listen, believers, the prayer is the gasoline in Jesus Christ's boat. The only way we're ever going to be able to talk to God is through prayer. After we pray, we say, "Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now, where do you want me to go, Father?" And we allow the Holy Spirit, the helper, John chapter 14 talks about, to take us. So we say, "Lord Jesus," listen, note takers, we pray, "Lord Jesus, I'm in your boat. Lord Jesus, now I ask that your helper that you left me, that you talked about in John 14, move this boat." The Holy Spirit is like the wind. So the wind blows the boat because Jesus is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now they're all together in one, in Hebrew, achad. And now you say, "Lord, I'm going to put the gas in the boat. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask that you help me not buy this truck or help me buy the right truck so my wife don't kill me. Metaphorically kill me, you know. Lord, I know I can't afford this truck, but can you provide another truck for me so when I sink, I don't flip out? This is what this chapter's talking about, you guys. Casting your fears on Jesus. You know, this old man told me one time, I have so many problems, and I went to him, and I go, how long have you been going following Jesus Christ? And he said, for 60 years. And I go, wow, that's a long time. And he goes, I go, how did you make it? And you know what he said to me? He said, I casted my cares on him. It's that simple. Cast your cares on Jesus. Get into his boat. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and whoosh you where you need to go. And that's it. That's really all it is. I think I'm up now. The coffee's kicking in. Listen, then he gets into the boat. Listen to this. And why did you doubt? Verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The problems stopped. When you get into the boat of Jesus Christ, your problems stop. No, they get worse. I've gotten so many trials, man. Man, we'll read James chapter 1. It says to be happy when you fall into various trials because it's the way that we learn and grow. You can't have it peachy every day. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But verse 33 says, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. So now they're in his boat, and now here's the radical part. They worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So they acknowledged him. So number one, let's recap this. Listen, believers, it's radical. It's radical. So verse 27 says, look it, be of good cheer, so be happy. Don't be afraid. Okay? 29 says, come. Come on, come on. Jesus gave him what? He walked on water. He says, pray. So pray. Listen to this, believers. Now we have, he's in the boat. We have no more problems. The wind ceased. It's like, you know, the troubles ended. Then the boat, listen to this. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. So now they worshiped him. So now they acknowledged him. They worshiped him. They prayed to him. And then they acknowledge that he truly is this, that he truly is God. We get so caught up in the cares of this life that we forget that God is in control of every situation in our life. We then begin to rationalize our wants, our needs, and we forget that we as believers need to depend fully on God's Holy Spirit for all things. We do this because we're human, it's human nature. But we can't forget that Jesus Christ doesn't want us to live in fear. Fear is a liar, and it holds us captive. It's like an anchor. Okay, so now we're in Jesus Christ's boat. But what happens when it's the opposite of that? Well, the opposite will tell you that you're a liar. The opposite will tell you that you're no good. The opposite will tell you that you can just give up. The opposite will tell you to never follow God. The opposite will tell you to beg for money from churchgoers. The opposite will tell you to not depend on the Holy Spirit. When the opposite of that is what we just talked about, believers. Jesus Christ is in love with you. And you know something? Every time I think about what he did for us and what he can still do, it blows my mind. Every time I think about how much he loves us and how much he cares for us, it really blows my mind. Listen, believers, I'll never, ever, ever, ever figure it out. Nor will I want to try to. But I know one thing is true, believers. we have each other. And we're going through a lot. We all go through a lot in life. You're not the only ones. Whatever, and I know, I get emails from all over the country. You're not the only ones, believers. Listen, there's persecution everywhere. But listen, Jesus Christ told us that this would happen. We have to be still and just trust in Him, knowing that He's going to meet our needs, knowing that when we're afraid, we can get into His boat. And when we do sink, He will forgive us for having a lack of faith. That's the key. God told me years ago to always be about grace, mercy, love. And, you know, He loves us. Jesus loves us. His boat is full of love. His boat is full of mercy. Boats are made out of boats too, but His boat is His body, His life, His way is better than ours, man. And when we're hungry, He'll cast out the nets for us. And He's given us tools to get jobs and to work and to provide for our families. Listen, Jesus Christ wants to love you where you're at. Do you understand this, women? All you women out there that are hurting, that you don't know which way to go. You don't know which direction the wind Jesus wants to take you. Listen to this, please. Listen to my words. Trust in Him. Ask Him. Meditate on the things that He wants you to do. Get yourself a paper and write down the things that He wants best for you. And go over them. And start with how you can grow closer to Jesus by reading His word and staying in His word and growing in His word. Jesus Christ loves you guys, man. And the boat is always open. And when we fall and we keep our eyes off the Lord and we sink, God is always there, believers, to help us. He'll stretch out His hand even in the last days of our life, and He will go before us because He loves us. Father, we come before You now as we end this sermon and we move on to the next chapter, Lord. I want to say thank You, Jesus. I want to say thank You for loving me where I am. Father, I want to thank You that You have given us Your word, Father, because without Your word, we wouldn't have anything, Lord. Without Your word, we would have nowhere to go, Father, and we would live in fear, Father. And so, Father, we thank You that we have Your word, Lord, and it stands strong in our lives, and that we've written Your word in our hearts, Father. We thank You for Your faithfulness on the cross, and we thank You for everything You've done for us, Father. We love You, Lord Jesus. We honor You. We respect You, Father, and we can't wait, Father, for Your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, you guys out there, growing in His word is a free online Bible study. We don't have a church. We never claim to be a church. We're not a 501c3. If you want to donate money, give it to the homeless, your neighbor that's hungry, or the one that God puts on your heart. Pray about it, just as Jesus wants us to. And remember, Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. And Growing in His Word was sponsored by Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit. Hey, man, we just can't wait to hear from you. If you write us, email us, that's great, man. But don't send any money because we don't want it. We don't believe in money. We believe in prayer, and we believe in each other helping one another. No, we're not a cult. We're just a Bible study, guys. We're an online Bible study. If you want to go to church, go find a church that can, that's uplifting, that teaches word by word, verse by verse. God bless you guys, and may the Lord bless you today. In Jesus' name.